We will dismiss our children for children's church at this time. And you guys will be going into the fellowship hall. And those who are remaining, if you will open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8. And we'll be starting in just a minute. You know, it's interesting, I don't want to get sentimental here, but I'm so glad to see my friend Wayne and Roberta. What you guys don't know is that it was a little over 45 years ago, three of my friends had been to a revival and had made professions of faith, and I was off at school at North Carolina State. And I came in, and it was Thanksgiving, and so we went, and these guys got a hold of me, and they started witnessing to me and talking to me about the Lord. Well, I'd read the Bible, the New Testament through a couple of times and was very interested in it. But now they told me that they'd quit doing all the drugs. And I'd quit doing everything but marijuana, and I told them they were crazy. And at the end of that night, after some praying and witnessing and sharing, I told those guys, I said, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, for the next month, until December the 28th, I will not smoke any marijuana, and I'll pray every day. And this is how deceived I was. I said, I'll pray every day and ask the Lord to show me if there's anything wrong with it. Well, Wayne was one of those that was witnessing to me, and I appreciate it. And y'all know the rest of the story. I never did any more drugs after that. Because in the meantime, the Lord got a hold of me and showed me clearly that that was not the path that he had chosen for me to take. And so, Wayne, you happen to have been with me, whether you knew it or not, the last night I ever smoked any pot. That same night. Now, you weren't with me. No, I was smoking before I saw you. I understand that. But we didn't burn one together, y'all. But I burned one and then went to see these guys. But that was the last time for me. And it's amazing how God will work. And I just appreciate your friendship. It's good to see you. And I don't want to embarrass you or make any big deal, but I just appreciate that. I'm waxing a little sentimental, I reckon. That's been a long time ago. How many in here is under 45? Yeah. Okay. That was a long time ago. What you guys know, and let me share with those that have not been here, I'm in the middle of a series on how we should walk. And we've taken the word walk, and with each letter, We've been talking about what each one of these letters can signify in our lives. The first one is that we walk with God. The W is with God. And then the A in walk is in agreement with His Son, which means that according to the Word of God, that we walk according to the Word because that's what He agrees with. The L we looked at last week, and I want to continue this week, is that we should walk in the light. You remember that the Scripture clearly says to us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that we'd have fellowship with one another and that the blood of Jesus would continually cleanse us from all sin. And I'm so grateful for that verse because we need continuous cleansing. Because, you can say, well, I got saved 45 years ago. Yeah, well, I took a bath 45 years ago. Do you reckon I've needed one since then? And what I'm saying is we live in a world that is dirty. We live in a world that we need to continuously come before God. And as we walk in the light, His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I'm grateful for that word. And I'm grateful that there have been times when the Lord, I've had to ask the Lord for forgiveness and since I've been saved. And I don't think I'm the only one in this room that would say that. But as we walk in the light, He ministers His life to us, and I'm not going to reteach last week's sermon, but let's go right straight into John 8 and look at verse 12. John 8, 12. Now, the first part of John 8, many of you are familiar with, that was where the woman was caught in adultery. And the Lord looked at her and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and leave your life of sin. But the very next verse, verse 12, said when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, that ticked off the Pharisees. They got into some discussion, and the rest of this chapter is a fascinating study of how the religious folks were trying to continue their system, perpetuate their religious system, rather than really walking with God, because God was there before them, and they took issue with Him. But He said plainly, and I want us to understand, that if we're going to walk into light, it's got to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's got to be. He's the light of the world. It was amazing, and I've shared this with you. I shared it last week, that the night that I made a radical commitment to Jesus, the whole room lit up. It was like the blinders had been taken off. I understood stuff from Scripture from that point on that I had read and had never understood. And it really was, I can remember thinking that the old hymn that I had heard over and over again, I think Hank Williams might have wrote the thing, was "I Saw the Light." You know, I mean, it really was. It was uncanny to me how true that was, you know, in my life. But Jesus is the light of the world. And if we follow Him, we walk with Him, then He lights the way and we do not walk in darkness. And I think it's important that we understand that. In John chapter 9, just flip right over to John chapter 9, and I want you to let's pick it up here. I want us to pick it up in verse 1, John chapter 9, verse 1. As He went along, He saw a man blind from birth. This man's never seen. Blind from birth. His disciples asked Him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I mean, it's got to be somebody's fault. You know, did this man sin? He was born blind, so I don't know how he could have sinned. But they said, was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus' answer is very telling, and it's very interesting to me. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night's coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." So it's interesting. You know, I was thinking about this passage, and y'all know how I am. I try to put myself there, and it's amazing to me how much we depend on artificial light. There's a light in my living room if I can walk in, and the light comes on, the little old light, so I can see to walk. If I go into my bathroom, there's another one of those little lights. It'll, as soon as I hit the door, it'll come on so I can see, and I won't stumble and fall over everything. But it's amazing at the artificial light that we depend on. When I get ready to go somewhere at night, I don't think twice about it. I just go get in the truck. I take off, cut the lights on, and I go where I want to go. You can go to ball games. Many of the ball games are played at night. I mean, you know, the only thing I do appreciate about the Cubs is their baseball field. They used to be, no offense, guys, I'm a Cardinal fan. But they used to play their ball games always in the daytime because they didn't have lights. And so we take it for granted what it's like. When He said, while it's daylight, you better do the work, He meant it. Because you ain't going to get a whole lot of work done by firelight and candlelight and torches. Now, you can get some done, but you can't do a whole lot. And so what He's saying is, when there's the opportunity, while the light is among us, while the light is here, we need to do what we can do. And we need to be people of the light. And then it was very interesting that He made this statement in verse 5, "While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." He's been taken away. He's been taken out of His physical body. Is no longer here. Now, there's no question that the Holy Spirit is among us. There's no question that the Godhead exists and that Jesus is still in my heart and here. But what we've got to understand, it's interesting that He said as long as He was in the world, that He was the light of the world. So what do we do in His absence? Well, He made that clear in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Look at it. Matthew 5. Now remember, I'm making a pretty big deal out of this, that He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. if you'll follow me, when those guys stuck by him, when they had a question, they could come to him and ask. When they needed to know what to do, they would come. On more than one occasion, he rebuked them. When they came and said, hey, these folks ain't receiving us. You want us to call fire down? He said, no, you don't know what spirit you're from. He said, no, don't be calling any fire down. So when Peter could not walk on the water, now this is amazing to me that Peter actually walked on the water. Well, the Lord didn't scold him when he fell. He just reached out and saved him. Now, you know, we want to criticize Peter, but I've never walked on the water. You know, the only two men that I know that ever walked on the water were Jesus and Peter. And so I figured, Peter, that's pretty tall cotton there. But instead of Jesus chiding him and saying, he did tell him he lacked faith. But he just reached out his hand and picked him up and saved him. These men knew that he was the light of the world. But we got to understand that I have never physically touched Jesus. I've never literally heard his voice I've heard his voice in my head. But I've never heard his voice in my ear. And I don't doubt that some have. The scripture tells us that some have. That's not my point. My point is that when he was with them, they could walk with him. They could ask him the questions. They could say, Lord, how do you handle this? When they couldn't cast the devil out, they brought the person, the demoniac, to him, and he cast it, the devil out. But there's a time when he knew that he would no longer be physically in the world. And this is where we come in. So if you look in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, let's go to 13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. Now look at what he's saying. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So that light bearing, that ability to be able to let the love of God shine, that ability for folks to see is reflected in our good works. It's not what saves us, but it sure does make a difference. If you got somebody that's hungry and they're really hungry, not just panhandling, but if you feed somebody that's really hungry, it matters to them. If you clothe somebody that really doesn't have anything to wear, it matters to them. And if we, as we do what's right, as we follow him, as we let him guide us, we can get people's attention. And it's incumbent on us, and y'all understand, I quote it all the time, the passage in Peter where he said to be ready to give an answer to everyone, anyone, for the reason of the hope that you have. So that says that folks can see hope. They can see it to the point that they're asking you, what's going on? How can you still be up? How can you still be doing what you need to be doing? How do you do what you do? And we can honestly let them know that the reason of the hope that we have is that it's Christ in us, because he's the hope of glory. Christ in us is hope. And there is hope in the Christian message. And so we need to share. And he said, plain and simple, look, there's going to come a time when I'm going to walk. He ministered for right around 3 years. 3 years. And turned the world upside down. But he left his followers, of whom we are, that continued to turn the world and change lives and make a difference in people's lives, and it's a corporate thing. You know, one of the things, and I'm not going to develop this teaching right now, but if you look with me, if you will remember in the book of Revelation where it talked about the seven churches, it talked about it being a lampstand. And I personally believe, now this is Willard's interpretation, so be careful. But it said instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. I believe the lampstand is a church body. I believe it's a corporate church. I believe it's a local church where we can work together with other churches and make a difference in the world. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are all here this morning. You know. But I think it's important that I think there's a corporate light that shines and folks know who comes to church here. Folks know that you're a churchgoer. Now, are you showing them the light of Jesus when we leave from this place? And so what we want to understand is that now Jesus is the light of the world, but we have the opportunity to reflect his light. We have an opportunity to be able to show his light. We have an opportunity, because he lives in us, to be able to have an impact on those that are around us. Look with me, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness. Now, boy, I can relate to that. Can you relate to that? I can. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Now we need to understand that. We need to understand that He's done something in our hearts. He's made a change. There's a difference in us. And then He commands us, live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. And it would be incumbent on us to understand, do we live our lives in goodness, righteousness, and truth? Truth is simply that which conforms to reality. Is our life real? Are we real Christians? Are we real people? Are we genuine in our faith? And then he goes on to say, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases him. That'd be a great Bible study. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything is exposed by the light. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it's the light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we've got a charge. We've got an understanding that the light of God has shone in our hearts, and I'm grateful for that. I am so glad. I'm glad I can see. I'm glad. I don't understand everything. I understand, but I understand way more than I used to did. And I understand way more of Scripture than I used to did. And I understand more about the person of God and the person of Christ and the function of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And as we come and walk and show, and that light has got to shine in the darkness. And some folks resent that because their deeds are evil. How many of you have been around folks, they just get uncomfortable when you're there? You know, it's interesting. I told you about one of my favorite Bible teachers was a World War II medic. He said that his foxhole was one of the first ones to fill up when the shelling started. Folks knew how to be attracted to the light. But let him go into some of the card playing and some of the other things that everybody was doing, and the drinking and the carousing and some of that sort of stuff, folks get real comfortable and pull away or pull back and that sort of thing. So but what we've got to do is live the life that he's called us to live. Because when folks get in trouble, you're the one they're going to go to. How many of you, I want to see a showing of hands on this one. How many of you have ever been surprised at somebody coming to you and asking you to pray for them or a situation they know about? It has happened to just about every one of us. You know, you don't realize who's watching you. But I promise you, about everybody is. And so what we want to do is let His light shine in us. We want to reprove the darkness. And what we want to do is live in the light. So His light will shine on us. As we walk in the light, His light will shine on us. I want you to look with me in Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to pick it up in verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Again, I want to remind you, He told us, walk in the light as He is in the light. Now look at Paul's revelation to the Philippian church. He said, therefore, my dear friends, in verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to walk. Continue to walk. Not in haughtiness and cockiness, but what we need to understand is that except for the grace of God, there go I. God is good to us, and He ministers His life to us. And He reminds us in verse 13, it's God who works in you to will and to do or to act according to His good purpose. God's the one working in us. That light is working in us. That light can dispel the darkness. And don't think you can play footsies with the devil. It does not work. Detente doesn't work politically. It doesn't work with the devil at all. You can't cozy up with him. You can't have a truce because he's come to steal and kill and destroy. Verse 14, he goes on. He said, do everything without complaining or arguing. Now that'll preach. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I think all of us probably ought to put this one on our refrigerator. Terry reminds me once in a while when I get started. She usually calls me pastor at that time. Remind me of my calling. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Now listen carefully. In which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Now this verse is extremely interesting. I was doing a word study and I love to do word studies. I'm certainly no Greek scholar, never taken a course of Greek in my life, but I can read a Strong's Concordance and a Vine's Dictionary. And I was looking up some of the words here, and the word for star here is extremely interesting. In the Greek, it's P-H-O-S-T-E-R, phoster. It means a luminary. It means to shine brilliantly, but this root is also in the word phosphorus. I happen to see it. It's one word below there. Phosphorus, which is an element. I think all of you understand. Some of you know what the element phosphorus can do. Phosphorus literally means light bearer. It's also a reference to the day star. And so years ago, I was preaching this and talking about that we were to shine. We've been lit up. And one of my parishioners, big old John Phipps, you remember Big John? He's about 6'7". I got on his back one day and he run me around the fellowship hall at Living Word. He's a happy fella. He got really excited and I knew something was going on. He couldn't hardly stand it. I said, John, what is it? So he stood up and he said, Willard, He said, you know what you can do with a phosphorus flare? I said, John, I ain't got a clue what I could do with it. I said, I reckon I could see. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, I was in the Navy. He said, if you light a phosphorus flare, said you can stick it in the water and it don't go out. He said, and you telling me that we're lit up like phosphorus? That when the devil tries to throw me into water and tries to put out my fire, ain't no way that he can be successful and do that. And boy, we had church. I'm telling you, those Pentecostals were happy now. I'm telling you. Everybody got happy. And I got happy. And I am happy because that is true. That word there, it in its root form, it means that you can't put that fire out. That means that there's something on the inside of you that while the devil will try to dampen it and cause you to go back into the darkness, that he can't do it. He can't do it. And it thrills me that God has put a light in us that even the water can't put out. And what I want us to do is just exactly what this passage says. Let's look at it again and keep it in mind that this is part of the phosphorus. It's part of the phosphates. He says, become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. You shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. As we hold out the word of Christ. You know, again, I had that imagery of a flare that you light and hold out. And that word of God is something that we need to hold out. The light of the world is on the inside of us. The light of the world is in us. And what we need to do is shine, shine, shine. And that's what he's called us to do. Amen. Amen. Now, as we prepare our hearts for the invitation, I want us to just reflect on our own lives. I don't think there's a person in here that can't do a better job at shining. I believe every one of us would say that. I mean, and I think many of you really are witnesses. Many of you really are shining in the community. Many of you had this church had a good reputation before I ever came. And many of you, I knew of you before I knew you. God's doing a work, and I'm grateful for that. But what I want us to do is let that light shine. And as we put it on the candlestick, as we come together as God's people like we are today, and like we're going to be in a few minutes with the youth, and like they're going to be when they go on their ski trip, and they are going to go have some fun. And like they're going to be when they go on their missions trip and they show the love of God. I want us to put it in our hearts that we're going to shine. That we make up our minds that we're going to let the light of Christ, His Word, change our hearts. And that we're going to try our best, as best we can understand it, that we're going to live according to His Word. And we're going to share His Word with anybody that we can. And so what I'm asking today is for us to commit as a group that we will shine His light everywhere He gives us an opportunity to go. And please be well aware of the fact that He's going to call some of us into some dark places so that His light can shine. But I'm going to tell you, as long as I got the light of Christ, won't be scared. I'm going to walk on. I'm going to keep on going. And I love that little song that we all sang when we were youngins. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. So as we have our invitational hymn, what number we got, Miss Francis? 294. Stand, and if you've got a need, let's bring it to the Lord. If there's something in your heart that you need to expose to His light, bring it. See? Scripture's plain. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if, as the Lord begins to deal with you in your Bible study and in your time, open your mouth and praise Him. Open your mouth and share His love with those around you. So stand and let's sing. The altar's open. If you have a prayer need, please come.